Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Wow, we are lively in this place. Oh my gosh. Well, to get some energy flowing in here, $4,500 for Arms of Love on a weekend. Can we give it up? My goodness, man. I thank you so much for your generosity, church. It's amazing. Man, you guys don't understand how generous we are as a community, and it really is all because of you. We're reaching so many different places, ministries. We got a lot of stories to tell, but I got something very important for today. So if it is your first time, a couple things you need to know. Number one is that you do not have to believe to belong here. I think it's very important, wherever you're at in the spectrum of faith, whether you're atheist, agnostic, Muslim, Jewish, SDA, I mean, there's so many. I just want to tell you, you are more than welcome here. We are a faith journey, community on a faith journey following Jesus. And so, man, we got people all over the board. We got people that have been following Jesus for a long time, some that just crossed the line of faith. And then we got some people that, man, don't really know what to do with God. So even if you're in that place, I just want to say, you know, welcome home. I know you're out there, and we love you so much. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to be heavy teaching on the front end and pure story on the back. So bear with me. I got some gold for you today. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into it, all right? Father, I thank you so much for today, Lord. I ask, first and foremost, you would be glorified in this place this morning. I ask, God, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to know, and a mind to understand everything that's to be said today. Use me. I ask that you would speak through all the churches in the valley, from CCV to Calvary to Cornerstone to Central to Redemption to Gateway to Set. I mean, there's so many, Lord, even for the ones that have like four or five words in their name that I can't even remember. I just pray, God, you will bless your churches around the valley. I thank you so much for what you're doing in Phoenix. I ask you just be in this place today. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Hey, so if you're wondering, man, where is Jeremiah, the lead pastor? Well, his son was playing a semi-final game yesterday. To be honest, I was thinking he was going to lose and I wouldn't be up here. But he won, clearly. So here I am. You're stuck with me. I was just like, man, Judah, just make sure you win, man. Like you got to come back next Sunday with a W, right? So we are in a series called Conversations. And what we've been looking at the past 2 weeks is this, is that Jesus, who we believe to be fully God, fully man, would say some of the most iconic things, not to the crowd or to the conference, but he would do it to the individual. And so it always makes you wonder, I wonder what Jesus is saying to you. But with that said, we have 2 weeks ago, I talked about this story of Mary and Martha, right? And so this is really interesting story where John is watching Jesus in action in this moment, and Jesus gets this message from his friends Mary and Martha, and they say, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. Their brother Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, was sick and was on the verge of dying. And Jesus says this crazy statement that I didn't have time to get into, but I'm going to today. He says this, he says, this sickness does not lead unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, when I first read that, I'm thinking, if you think you're Mary and Martha, you go, God, I really don't care about your glory. I'm trying to see you heal my brother, right? Like, I want you to show up in my situation now. Where are you at? I don't really care. But I'll say this, he continues to have this conversation with the disciples, and we know a few days later, he then, while he's doing something in one town, a few days later he goes, hey, let's go see Lazarus. And they go, what do you mean? And he said, listen, Lazarus has died. And he says this, I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe. And I said this 2 weeks ago. I said, man, isn't that feel a little cold from Jesus, like that he would say that he would allow suffering, death to happen even, so that others would believe? And I answered the question. I said, yeah, he would actually do that. I know it sounds harsh, you see, because our faith is foundation is on that, that Jesus would allow and give his son to die for us so that he's dying for the sins of the world so that we would be saved. But it's interesting, it says it's for the glory of God, like this sickness, this illness, this disease, this death is for the glory of God. And so it sounds a little weird and it's a little jarring to us, but what I want you to know today is this important fact, and you could be in church all your life and never know this. It's this important thing, that God is first and foremost ultimately for himself. We know that God is for God. But you see, in church, what you'll often hear is that God is for you, he's for you, he's for you, he's for you. And I'm here to tell you, that is 100% absolutely true. He is absolutely for you. So, but him being for you, his motivation for being for you is actually for the sake of his name. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he's made you. You have infinite value. But the motivation for God of loving you is ultimately for the sake of his name. But you're thinking, well, really, that's a little jarring, but it's actually all over Scripture. You see, in Psalms 23, this is a really common psalm. It's often on your coffee cups, your mugs, your t-shirts, and it is familiar. Some of you, maybe it's your first time, but it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." I remember this pastor said, listen, you can lie down or you can be made to lie down. Listen, some of y'all need to just chill out for 2 seconds, man. God's just saying, I will make you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. I got my blue lights. I'm feeling like I'm next to that water. You know, he leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And then it says this, for his name's sake. Isn't that interesting that all that reason, he's your shepherd, you shall not want, he's going to meet your every need, he leads you beside still waters, he restores your soul, he does all these things, he is absolutely for you, but it's for his name's sake. But this is interesting. This is all throughout the entire story of Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, the whole point of the story is about God. You see, if you read yourself into the story that you're the hero, when you plug yourself that you're the hero of the story, it will lead you to exhaustion. Listen, if we sometimes, I remember growing up in church, people would look at Job and David and Abraham and all these people, and they'd be like, man, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. But if they were here in person, they would go, listen, I'm not the guy. Ruth would go, I'm not the gal. I'm pointing to something better. I'm pointing to Jesus that's to come. You see, it's all about the glory of God. It's always God is for God. And let me show you just a few texts really quickly of where we see that. In Isaiah 43, it said, God created us for the glory of his name. Isaiah 49 says, God called Israel for the glory of his name. Isn't that amazing that they didn't even do anything? God just goes, you're mine. Love that. It says Romans 9, God raised Pharaoh for the glory of his name. Psalm 106, God rescues Israel from Egypt for the glory of his name. Ezekiel 20 said, God spared Israel for the glory of his name. 2 Samuel 7, one of my favorites, God gave Israel victory in Canaan for the glory of his name. Now, this is crazy. If you are ever in the Old Testament, it can be a little confusing for some of you. There's a lot of great content. Read Scripture, the Bible Project on YouTube, because it can get confusing. But I'm telling you, there's some amazing chapters where God is speaking about Israel, and he's like, Israel's just wilding out, right? They're just doing ratchet stuff. Like they're like inventing new ways to sin. You ever plan your sin? Like you're like, I'm gonna kind of get everything right so you can sin. They're doing crazy stuff, right? And God says this in this chapter. He goes, listen, oh my goodness. He goes, listen, I'm gonna drive these nations out from you, these nations coming after you, not because you're awesome, because listen, you are blowing it. I'm doing it because I'm awesome. Oh, you gotta praise God for that one. Isn't that so good that God will actually move enemies from your life, not because you're doing good, because listen, we screw up all the time. No, but it's because he's good. So that's 2 Samuel 7. In Ezekiel 36 says, God restored Israel from exile for the glory of his name. 1 Samuel 12 says, God will not forsake his people for the glory of his name. That's one you should always tuck into your back pocket. Remember God being for you, he will not forsake you. Why? Because his name's on it.
Oh, no, he ain't going to forsake you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Why? Because his glory would be at stake. Let's keep going. It says Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus is the glory of God. John 17, Jesus pray we would see and enjoy his glory. 2 Corinthians 4:6 that the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. Meaning when you want to see God the Father, you want to see who God the Father is like, you need to look into his son. Oh, you got to see the grace. He's full of grace, full of truth, full of forgiveness. He's full of peace. Oh, he is leading you into the fullness of life. You want to know what God's like? 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, look into the face of Jesus. It says in Hebrews 1:3, John 7:18 says, Jesus seeks the glory of his Father in all he did. John 14:13 says, Jesus says he answers prayer so that God may be glorified. John 12 and John 17 says, Jesus endured his final hours of suffering for the glory of God. John 16:14, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God. Philippians 4:19, another one to tuck into your back pocket. God will meet your every need for the glory of his name. Isn't that good? That if God doesn't meet your need, he always does, but this is why, because his name is on it. If he doesn't deliver his sons and daughters, if he doesn't come through, then people around will be like, see, what kind of God do you have? But God goes, oh, no, no, I never forsake my kids, and I'll always give them what I need, what they need. Why? Because my glory is at stake. And it keeps going in 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, do everything to the glory of God. Matthew 5:16 says, Jesus said, do good works to others so they will glorify his name. 1 Peter 4:11 says, serve in a way to glorify God. Habakkuk 2 said, the glory of God will fill the earth like the waters cover the ocean. All right, waters cover the world. Isn't that amazing? Like there's water everywhere. His glory is everywhere. And finally in Revelation, it says that we will not need the sun anymore because when Jesus comes back, his glory is so big, so just giant that we won't even need the sun or the moon anymore. So as I see, I'm laying this foundation for you that God is for God. It's always about his glory. But let me tell you three important things. The first two I have to fly by because the third one's the most important for our community today. So if God is for God, this is why it's such good news. I mean, I just kind of give you a couple tidbits, but here's the most important right off the bat is because God is for God, he's not after your disgruntled, forced submission. He's after your joy. And what I want to show you is that when God gives you commands, church, he's not trying to make you miserable. You ever seen those Christians that they kind of like Eeyore, like they walk around like, oh, better read the Bible. Like God's like, oh man, I'm so glorified by that. Just your joy is just, oh, people are looking like, wow, I want to praise that God. No. So listen, a theologian says this. He says, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. That literally when you put, like, you follow, God literally, he says, hey, guess what? I designed the universe, I know. So I'm giving you these commands to walk in the fullness of joy because guess what? I invented it. You're like, oh, you know, that is good. So when you talk about sex and money, you're like, he's never trying to take away from you. He's always trying to lead you into the fullness of joy. I told this last service, in realms of giving, right, who likes to talk about money? You just invited your friend. He goes, of course, they always talk about money. Well, anyway, I make a grand, right? I make $1,000 in a couple days years ago. And I remember looking at my 10 of hundreds, and I'm like, you want me to give what? $100? No way. Forget that. So I used it on myself, but then I started, as I was following Jesus, I realized how much money can just toy with my heart, that it can actually put me in bondage. I mean, I work in corporate America. I've seen, and you look on the news, people will do crazy things for more money. You see, Jesus isn't trying to take away from you. He just says, hey, I designed this thing. Make sure I want you to help you walk in freedom. I got you. Just trust me. So he's never after your miserable submission, guys. He's always after your joy. But here's number two, is that because God is for God, the world doesn't revolve around you. Simple, Very simple, but think about it. Because God is for God, it's all about God being the hero. He is the person. It's all about his glory, his namesake. Then you're not the center of the story, which breathe in, breathe out. Doesn't that feel great? Ha, it's not about me. You know, I can bomb this talk and everything will keep going. It's amazing. The sun will still rise and set. Everything will be okay because God is the center of this story. That's all my job is. I just got to brag about God. It's pretty easy. And so literally, you're not the center of the story. Now think about this. All the conflict in your life is when you're the center of the story. Just about all of it. I think about myself. When I'm in the left lane and I got to get from A to B and I'm on a time crunch, oh, you better get out the way. Oh, my. I was in the freeway yesterday going to a wedding. It's 65 miles per hour. This person's going 50. And I'm thinking, what is your problem? You know, did you not understand the center of the universe is here today on the 101? Move over. You know, I'm like raging, right? Gosh, I need help. Anyway, so like I'm not the center of the universe and neither are you. And it's a really good thing because I think in our relationship with God, man, we put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfectly obedient when in reality you're not. And that's okay. Because literally, like, you're going to mess up. I think about in marriages, like, if you come home and go, if your expectation is you are the center of the universe, you come home and be like, oh, wow, you didn't do the clothes while there's still dirty laundry. Oh, you didn't even cook. Wow, you're really killing it today. And I'm sure that really just generates a lot of joy in marriage, right? Just that just doesn't start any conflict, right? Of course, you're like, oh gosh, yeah. But when you're not the center of the story, when Jesus is, man, there's a grace there for you. There's a grace there that goes, you know what? It's better to serve. It's better to give than receive. Hey, I might have worked a 12-hour day, but I'm ready for second shift. I'm ready to get down on my floor with my kids, make sure they have a present father, a present parent in their life. I want to make sure that, hey, how can I serve you? How can I help you? You see, when life is not about you, man, God is always leading you into more joy. And when he's leading you into joy and you are satisfied in him, man, he is most glorified in that. But here is the most important, and this is the one for our community that I believe is going to speak to somebody. You see, I talked about 2 weeks ago, Mary and Martha had this, they said the exact same thing to Jesus, but we found that Jesus will meet your need exactly where you are, right? So Martha comes up to him going, Jesus, my brother died. If you were just here, and Jesus says, he gives her truth. Mary comes, she has no hope. She comes to him, she says, Jesus, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. And what does Jesus do? He enters into tears with her. So he does these things. He meets us where we are. But the foundation of this story is the verse I first shared. It's that this illness, this death, whatever's about to come in your life, whatever's in your life, the suffering you're going through, it is somehow going to be for the glory of God. And so this is my third point is because God is for God, Jesus, I might even want to scream right now. Because God is for God, he will not waste 1 ounce of your pain. Why? Because his glory is attached to it. Have you thought about that? Because listen, you can be in the worst situation, and I want to let you know this morning that literally because God is for God, he is so about his glory, you may be going through something, and I'm telling you, he will give you exactly what you need most for the moment you're in. He will cry with you. He will be there with you. But underneath it all, even underneath, he goes, no, my name, my glory is at stake because my sons and my daughters are going through something. And he will not waste 1 ounce of your pain. Why? Because God is for God and he is about his glory. His name is attached to it. And so that is my teaching portion. Now I'm going to share you two stories about how this plays out. So I told you 2 weeks ago that one of my best friends got in a severe, awful accident. Horrifying accident. I told you that I was in that room. They took us from the waiting room to go see him. I had a full panic attack meltdown walking into that room because I didn't want to look death in the face. And I walked into that room and I remember looking at my friend with all our friends around going like, Man, this is hard, man. Like, I'll tell you this. When I'm looking at my friend on a table who's now passed away, I'm looking at him as we're all weeping. I remember this. Number one, that this sucks, and that's okay. It sucks, and this is where we're at. Like, this is the reality. God loves me so much, I can be real in this moment, that this is horrible. I hate this moment. But I also knew this, just like I told you 2 weeks ago with Mary and Martha, that Jesus was in that room with me. He was absolutely in that room. I know his presence was in there, even though I couldn't feel it. I know that he was weeping because death was never a part of the original design. If you go back to Genesis, sin is what led to death. It was never a part of the original design. That's why when people die in your life, it rattles us, right? And so I'm looking at my friend, but I will tell you this, and I'm trying to give you this nugget for whether you're going through it now or something for the future, because the reality is, church, that it rains on the just and the unjust, and whether God is in your life or out of your life, trials still hit. It's just reality. And so I'm going to give you something. This is so important. This because God is for God, he will not waste 1 ounce of your pain. I'm going to give you this. So I'm sitting in this moment, right? I'm standing looking at my friend. It sucks, but I know God's with me. I know he's for me, but I know, back to like what I'm saying, it's for the glory of God, that there is something along the lines that God is for God, and there is most definitely, he will not waste 1 ounce of this pain. I knew it. I looked into it. I was still sad. Don't get me wrong. I still struggle with depression. Don't get me wrong. But in that moment, I said, God is for God. And I said, Lord, whether I get to see some redemption on this side of heaven or the other side, I know that you are good, and you will make it happen. I don't know if I'll ever get to see it on this side, but I know because you are about your glory, you're not going to waste 1 ounce of my suffering because your glory's on it. It's not the pain, the suffering, the trial, I don't believe came from God, absolutely. But because the reality is that Satan, the enemy, what he does is he takes good things and makes them bad things. He turns sex, which God creates, into lust. He turns wealth and good things into greed. But what Jesus does is he turns bad things into good things. He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can turn crucifixions into resurrections. And so my best friend dies, and the next day, right, I'm at 75th and the 101 off the freeway. And there is this place called The Bridge. It's this building. And it was at what is the church is now Dream City. It used to be called the Community Church of Joy. And so what we did after our friend died, we were all so rattled. We rolled like 20 to 30 deep, our friend group, and we were just sitting in there just grieving. Some of us were playing games, having fun, conversations, processing grief, you name it. And while we're in there, I remember towards the end of the night, my buddy goes, hey, I invited this girl, Norma, or I invited Norma to come visit us. And I was like, why would you do that? That's so awkward. Like, why would anyone want to come? Hey, your friend passed away. Like, you know, it's a little weird, right? And so he invites her, and I'm thinking, my first thought was like, you're an idiot. But then I was like, you know, God can do anything, whatever. So, you know, she comes in, right? She comes, has flowers. And now let me give you the backstory of Norma and I. So Norma was a server at a place that we always went to, all of our friends. We're all friends with her, and I always tried to share Jesus with her, but she was not having it, right? And so one day I took her into church, right? And we're sitting in there, and the first thing she's like, this place doesn't have any crosses. What is this place? And I'm thinking, why does that matter? You know, whatever. So she's like, not having it. We leave church, right? And I said, so what do you think? She's like, not for me. I'm like, fair enough. So church, that didn't work. So now I'm going, okay. I said, you know what? I'm gonna see if she'll watch a sermon. So I said, hey, will you listen to one sermon? I will give you $50. If you watch it, I'll give you 50 bucks, and then I will never talk about God ever again. I was doubling down. He'll figure it out the rest, right? So sure enough, she just won't watch it over and over. I'm like, hey, did you watch it yet? No. You watch it yet? No. So sure enough, one day I'm in the LA Fitness parking lot. I'm coming in to get a workout in. I get a text. She's like, hey, I just watched that link. And I'm like, oh, wow. What'd you think? She said, it was all right. Sweet. All right. I said, hey, I'll give you $50. And she's like, you don't need to give me $50. I'm like, all right, cool. Whatever, right? So that's the backstory, right? My buddy dies. Next day, we're at the bridge. She walks in, right, with flowers. And as she walks in, we're all just kind of, like I said, having fun. People are messing around. Just any way you can process grief, like you just, any way you can think that we're doing everything. People are grief eating, everything, right? So she's like, man, I'm hungry. Can I get Sonic for anyone? And everyone's like, oh my, yes. Like, get the biggest shake. I want the most whipped cream on that bad boy. Like, let's carb up, right? Because sometimes when life sucks, you just got to eat, right? So we go to Sonic. She gets all these numbers, right? Or all these orders. Like, people are like, oh, I want this, this, and this. And she goes, man, can someone come with me? Like, I can't carry all this. I'm thinking, all right, fine, I'll roll with you. So we're in the car at 75th and Deer Valley, going to 83rd and Deer Valley, where there's a Sonic. Sorry, just details matter to at least five of you. And so we're on our way. We're halfway there. She's driving, and she goes, Jared, I think I believe in Jesus. And I'm like, what? What are you talking? Where's this coming from? And she's like, I don't know. I'm saying, wait, why is this happening right now? Like, what are you talking about? Like, there was no sermon. No, it's just kind of, oh, I just arrived to faith, you know? And so I'm thinking, like, where is this coming from? She goes, I don't know, just like that link you sent me. And I was like, that was like 6 months ago. What do you mean? What, like, where is this coming from? She's like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. So we get to Sonic, we get all the shakes, come back. And as we're coming back, two of my friends they're crying. And one is my best friend, and the other is she's now in this moment a widow from her husband from the day before. And so we all kind of motion everybody over. And we're sitting in a circle, and we all start praying. And then my buddy, or this girl who just lost her husband, she starts to pray. And she says, Lord, thank you for my marriage of 6 months. She says, you give and take away. Thank you for my marriage of 6 months. And she says, I know you can take better care of them than I could. When Norma was hearing that, shoot, when I was hearing that, I'm looking at her like, are you kidding me? Like, this is like, I was in awe. And Norma said later, she said, there's a strength that this is unbelievable. There's something else here that's just, it's just counter to all logic and intuition. And what happens was, literally, like a week later, my buddy preaches a sermon, and it's just kind of all about grace and Jesus and how good he is. He's for your joy. And sure enough, she's like, she meets with us and says, hey, I want to get baptized. And so next thing you know, we're going, talking about baptism. And I remember asking her at some point along this journey, I said, what was the moment for you? She's like, where did this all come from? She said, Jared, when I walked into that room, I've never experienced God before till that moment. Isn't that amazing? That psalm that says, that verse is, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. It has a whole new meaning to me. I couldn't feel God, but man, apparently he was moving. I'm here to tell you today that apparently he is moving in your trial right now. So Norma literally comes, becomes a Christian, starts believing in Jesus. She starts following Jesus, and she's just making her way, being obedient day by day. And literally, she goes on a missions trip. And sure enough, one of our friends in our group who was there that very day is a part of a church plant in Japan. And oh no, she was going on one trip, but it got derailed. Something happened. So her new destination, as she's going to so many countries, was, oh wait, Japan. Oh, and they go on a couple dates. And oh, I don't know, but that starts to turn into a marriage. And just because my buddy died, oh my gosh, God's just like, oh, I'm going to get so much glory. He says, you know what? I'm going to save that person you've been working on for 2 years. And guess what? Then I'm going to write a story where they're going to marry with some of your best friends. Like, there's nothing like it. She literally becomes a Christian, then marries one of my best friends. And they are here today. Zach and Norma, can you stand up? I feel like hope is rising in some people today. I feel like there is some hope in this room today. Thank you guys so much. I love you. And so when I look at them, man, every time I think back to, man, God was, he is crazy. My buddy dies and we pack out CCV for the funeral. There's probably 5,000 to 7,000 people there. All, and they, at this function, they're never allowed to read scripture, but not this day. Oh, Jesus was proclaimed like nobody's business. The glory of the Lord was in that place. People from people just had no idea who God was, are hearing about Jesus, maybe for the very first time. And then I get to see it up close, not just literally the day after that my friend would become a Christian, and then later then would marry one of my best friends. Like, there is no one that can write a story like God. And I just want to tell you today, like, man, God is for God. He's not going to waste 1 ounce of your pain. Why? Because his glory is dependent on it. He can't. No matter what you're going through, his glory is too big. He will not let you, he will not leave you or forsake you. He has got this under control. And I know it's horrible, but God is the only one who can bring a good thing out of a bad. And I want to share one more story from our community. Literally, someone just got diagnosed about 2 weeks ago with an intestine disease, just like me. Isn't that funny? Oh, God, just on the same message I'm giving today, literally 2 weeks ago, I'm like, we're in it together. Oh, God will use other, he'll use you, he'll use your pain to heal others. He'll use your pain to be with others, an extension of his grace. And so I roll with three guys, Zach, who did announcements, this guy, Brian, and this dude, Jay. And Jay is, he's from India, right? So we roll up in the ER, John C. Lincoln. It's packed with people. And my buddy goes, hey, Jay, hey, pray for him in Telugu. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, I don't know what he's about to say, but I like it. So he's praying, right? I'm like, okay. Like, I don't know what he's saying, but I know it's good. And so this Indian woman, she is sitting on the other side of the ER. She stands up, and after I open my eyes, she's like this, looking at me. And I'm thinking, oh, man, she's mad. Like, she mad about something. Like, I'm just like, I don't like offending people. And so I didn't want to be a bother. So I'm thinking, like, oh, like, I'm sorry, you know. I mean, let's just kind of, we'll walk out of here, no problems. And as I was walking away, this guy, he's like, hey, excuse me. I said, what? He said, who are you with? Like, what are you guys? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, what denomination are you? I'm like, not a denomination. Like, we're just at a church down the street. He's like, oh, thank you. This has been so great, man. I'm so encouraged. He said, I'm a Pentecostal minister. And so I'm talking to him. I'm like, this is random. And then the woman then comes over towards me. And I said, hold on, sir, 1 second. I said, hey, how are you doing? She says, excuse me, sir, what language was that guy speaking in? I said, Telugu. She said, that's my language. Oh, well, then you need to meet Jay. Hey, Jay, here's my new friend. So they start talking. Her mom is having heart problems, and she's sitting right over there. So next thing you know, everyone is literally going to pray for this woman that we don't know. She's Hindu. Her mom's Hindu. Doesn't matter. The love of Jesus does not care. He'll still love you where you're at. He comes over to her. They're praying. Next thing, while they're praying, I'm praying for this guy who's from Yugoslavia, Pentecostal minister. I'm feeling like the wind's at my back, like God's doing something in this hospital. And I'm looking, and Zach looks over at our buddy, the reason we were originally there, and goes, do you see what's going on? I'm thinking, man, I'm telling you, God will not waste 1 ounce of your pain, church. Remember, God is for God. His glory is dependent on it. Whether you see it on this side of heaven or the other side, he will redeem your pain. Your biggest ministry comes out of your deepest hurts. It's the truth. Man, your pain will be your platform. I say, stop, like, let's use it. Let's use it to the full and watch what God does, because that's what I'm doing right now. This message is standing on pain. I won't even look at Zach because it'll make me cry. So remember, God's for God. He'll never forsake you. Why? For the glory of his name. It doesn't matter where you're at as far as your sin. Man, he's going to help you get out of that, get you out of bondage. Man, life is not dependent on you. He's going to make it. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's got this. And last but not least, he will not waste 1 ounce of your pain. Why? Because his glory is dependent on it.
thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at City View PHX or go to cityviewphx.com.